This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. We start today with Steward Health, about a month after the depth of the system's financial struggles became known.
This is the stack of active lawsuits right now from vendors who claim that Steward Healthcare hasn't paid them in excess of $7.5 million. Plus, the landlord for Steward Healthcare says it's owed $50 million in unpaid rent. That's 5-0.
Now, the implications are profound.
We're learning more about the tragic death of a woman who had just given birth in a local hospital. Weeks earlier, equipment that might have helped her had been repossessed because the hospital's owner, Steward Healthcare, hadn't paid its bills.
They trouble state officials like Governor Healey.
I am frustrated with where we are right now as a state and what Steward has done.
And lawmakers in Washington. Here's Massachusetts Congresswoman Lori Trahan.
It's looking more and more like this is part of a dangerous Steward private equity playbook. I mean, when these hospitals are forced to close, it's patients who suffer.
Steward has 9 hospitals in the Commonwealth serving some of our most vulnerable residents.
70% of Steward patients are Medicare and Medicaid patients. So this is really important.
So the sound there is from WBZ, the Boston Globe, WCVB, and Congresswoman Trahan. So the question is, what happens to patients now? And that has been heavily on the mind of Massachusetts Congressman Stephen Lynch. He represents parts of Boston and the South Shore. Congressman, welcome back.
Thank you, Tiziana. Good to join you.
It's great to have you. Lots of things that I want to ask you about, but I'm going to start with this. It feels like we're kind of constantly teetering on the brink of something, Congressman, and I want to draw out a specific piece of that. On the 1st of February, WBUR reported that Steward told congressional staffers, including yours, in a meeting the previous week, that executives had said the company planned to leave the state and that the situation was, quote unquote, urgent at 4 hospitals. That includes St. Elizabeth's, Norwood, Holy Family, and Neshoba Valley Medical Center. And then, on the 2nd, in a letter to employees, Steward's executive vice president, Michael Callum, said the company had secured enough money to help stabilize and, quote, continue operations at all of our Massachusetts hospitals, end quote. So my question to you is, does that settle it in your mind? Are closings or sale of those 4 hospitals, are they off the table now? Are we stable, Congressman?
No, not at all. I had my most recent visit with, we had a Zoom yesterday with 4 of the representatives of Steward Healthcare. And that insertion of new cash is not nearly enough to address all of the concerns. And so I've asked them to do a sort of a hospital by hospital. I've got 5 of these hospitals in my district that are threatened. And I mean, that statement that they intend to exit the Massachusetts healthcare market has not been retracted. However, what it appears to be doing is Steward is trying to find buyers or find other configurations that will allow these hospitals to continue in operation.
Just briefly, do we know where the money's coming from, that infusion of cash, Congressman?
I have my suspicions. There's another play they're trying to execute with a physicians group. So there may be some assets available there. But in addition to the debt that you in the opening you noted, there's also a $40 million claim on the part of a staffing agency that hasn't been paid, and of course they are at least $50 million, probably more now, in arrears on their rent to Medical Properties Trust, which is the company that they sold all the real estate to. So this is still very precarious. I've tried to organize a walkthrough at Norwood Hospital, which is one of those on the urgent list, but which is a construction site right now because of a flood we had there a couple of years ago. So it's still very, very precarious here.
You talked about 5 hospitals sort of in your sphere. Have you been visiting them? What are you hearing from staff and patients?
Yeah, so New England Sinai in Stoughton was predicted to close, but Under the whole scheme of things, we thought there were enough beds in other areas as well as some long-term care facilities that could handle the you know, those beds going away. It was bad, but we thought we could deal with it. In this case, when they said we're going to exit the Massachusetts healthcare market from 9 hospitals, that's about 1,400 beds, and we're already seeing, you know, overcrowding at places like Tufts and Mass General Brigham. So this would be catastrophic.
One time, Congressman, my husband and I almost bought a house. And when we got close, the attorney working on it with us said, wait a minute, I don't think you should do this because you would own the house but not the land underneath it. So the question is, if Stewart's talking about selling hospitals, as I understand it, basically they don't own the real estate. So what can they sell?
Yeah, that's a great. Well, what they're selling is a stream of income. That's what they basically, that's part of what. So when they sold the land from under these hospitals, they sold it to MPT, which is Medical Properties Trust. So part of the stream of revenues that was being generated by these hospitals goes to MPT to pay the rent. And then the rest of the money, if there's money left over, obviously it goes to paying all the vendors and the employees and all of that. But so the question remains at this point, they're saying that there's not enough revenue being generated to pay all of the obligations that these hospitals have incurred.
Congressman, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. But they're selling, to make it short answer, they're selling the stream of revenue that would be coming out of these hospitals.
So we've got two letters on the table now. There's one to Cerberus Capital Management. They had owned Steward. From the entire delegation, asking for answers no later than February 28th for things like the firm's initial investment, total investments and profits, details of transactions between Cerberus and Steward. And then last month, there was a letter from the delegation asking for more information to Steward on their financial position, status on their Massachusetts facilities. We actually had Congressman Jake Auchincloss on yesterday, asked him about the status of response on that letter. Here that is.
I haven't seen a response yet. We have been in contact and collaboration with the Healey administration, who is watching this and engaged on this on a daily basis. Certainly in my district in southeastern Massachusetts, the collapse of Steward would be catastrophic. We're already buckling in Attleboro and Taunton and Fall River with lack of supply based on some hospital closures and incidents in the last couple of years. And so this is something that is clear and present for my constituents, and we're watching it closely.
It strikes me how much that echoes what you're saying, Congressman. Are there teeth to make them answer? You know, there's so much that we have heard about Steward as a for-profit hospital not complying with required financial reporting, appealing that in the courts, et cetera. Where are the leverage points, Congressman Lynch?
Well, it might not be against Steward, but obviously there, you know, these other entities that are owed revenue are at risk, right? Because Steward has sold them what could be, you know, empty assets. So, we're trying to get after Steward for what they've done here, but they've been very cagey and they've used some very creative financing. And this whole private equity model is very slippery and ill-defined. So, you know, we're going to have to go after them full bore, but I'm not sure we have the tools at the federal level alone to do this. So we're working closely with Governor Healey and state legislators to see if there might be a more local way to grapple with this.
So two sort of rapid-fire final questions for you, Congressman Stephen Lynch. First, is this a situation where we might at some point see the whole delegation sit down with Steward?
Well, I sat down with four of their representatives yesterday, and, it's really, really hard to do negotiations on 9 hospitals at the same time. So what I'm trying to do is at least take some of the hospitals that are most at risk in my district and try to negotiate a stability plan for those hospitals one at a time and just try to figure this out. There's just too many moving parts. But yeah, I mean, I think we've asked for that. I repeated the 14 questions that Jake was just talking about in his excerpt. I repeated the 14 questions orally yesterday to all the people on the call. You know, they're supposed to get back to me. I do have some meetings set up next week, at Norwood and at Norwood Hospital and at Good Samaritan Hospital in Brockton to try to figure those out, because I've got a lot of people at great risk in those hospitals because of the, you know, there's already problems at Brockton Hospital and Good Sam that have reduced their capacity. So this is really a crisis situation. So,
and that's my last question to you. What is your message to those patients at risk?
We will do everything we can. We're trying to figure out right now, this is sort of triage, ironically. We're trying to figure out if we were able to direct revenue to save hospitals, which hospitals would those be? Or would it be better to direct funding to neighboring hospitals that are now receiving a surge of patients and might not have the capacity to accept those patients? So we've got to figure out how to best use the resources that we have available. And I know the state is making that same assessment as well.
All right. Massachusetts Congressman Stephen Lynch, I know your time's valuable. Thanks for spending some of it with us today.
Thank you, Tatiana.
So, sitting here in Studio 2, heard that conversation. WBUR reporters Deborah Becker and Priyanka Dayal-McCluskey both have been, sort of like dogs with a bone on this story for more than a month now. Deb, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Priyanka, welcome back to you as well.
Good to be here.
So, I really just want to start with reactions, because we actually heard a ton of sort of new stuff there, Deb.
Yeah, right. I mean, he was very frank, seemingly. The meeting with Stewart is interesting that, you know, there was, in fact, a meeting with the congressman yesterday, and that Stewart did say there was a cash infusion. But interestingly, Congressman Lynch said, but Stewart did not retract its initial statement to his workers that it did want to leave Massachusetts entirely. So it is still in limbo, which is sort of where we started. But I thought it was interesting to hear him speak about that meeting and about the possibility of what might happen in the future and his work with state officials and his visits to some of these hospitals.
Anything else you want to draw out, Priyanka?
Yeah, I think he used the word precarious a couple times, and that certainly tracks with what we're hearing from other sources. And things just seem to be it's very tenuous, and day to day, there's so many conversations and so many variables. We've never really seen a situation like this.
So there's two things that I want to do with the two of you. I want to kind of get up to speed on what else is happening in the state around this for people who heard that and have been following the story and are like, holy cow, right? Mm. And then I want to put it in a broader context. So Priyanka, I'll stay with you for a minute. One of the things that is happening now is all kinds of conversations and actions at the state level around oversight. Immediate oversight of hospitals, around concern about quality of care and longer term questions about what kind of oversight needs to happen that maybe hasn't. What's the key stuff we need to know at this moment?
Yeah, so we got an update this week from the Department of Public Health. They are sending monitors to 4 Stewart hospitals for the past couple of weeks. That's St. Elizabeth's Medical Center, Good Samaritan, and Holy Family. They are actually stepping up that monitoring now to 2 more hospitals, Kearney and Morton. And they said by next week, they're going to have monitors in all of the Stewart facilities. And this is daily monitoring going on. So this is a step we really haven't seen before. And it sounds like they're trying to reassure people that they are watching to see these hospitals are providing safe care.
So Deb Becker, what other changes or additional steps have we been seeing, whether it's at the state level or in cities and towns, sort of in response as this precarious situation right. has played out over the last month?
I think there have been so many meetings. It sounds like everyone is meeting, right? It's the governor's office, it's the Department of Public Health, it's the Executive Office of Health and Human Services, it's hospitals, it's unions, it's so many meetings, and people are basically developing contingency plans, because really Steward could close a hospital, and it has suddenly, and not provided the required 120-day notice that it's supposed to. So what do we do if this closes? Are there other hospitals that can accommodate those patients? How would this work? What services are provided? You're talking 9 hospitals. So I think there's an awful lot of work going on in terms of contingency planning at this point, but it's basically waiting for Steward's next move. So another thing that was interesting that Congressman Lynch said, I think, was that Steward was trying to sell its physician practice, and so the state might have a little bit of control. There's all kinds of convoluted regulations about selling that. It might give the state a little bit of control over, if it does try to do that, in terms of who will get that practice in the future and what kinds of regulations they would have to follow. But also, I had never heard before that Steward might sell a stream of income. And so Priyanka and I are learning some really complicated financial things that I certainly didn't know before. So yes. I think that that's really what's going on here. And the state is really waiting to see what it can do and what Steward's next move is going to be.
So Priyanka, in the meantime, we have seen a flood of stories about concerns about quality of care in Steward hospitals, in emergency rooms, etc. Do we have any sense whether or not that has stabilized, right? So I'm thinking right at the top of the conversation with Congressman Lynch, I said Steward says they've got some financial investment that stabilizes in the short term on the financial picture, but we're talking about patient safety and quality of care. Is that stabilized?
Well, what we know is the state is looking at it. So they say they're looking every day at staffing, services, supplies, and equipment. And they're making sure that each Steward hospital has those things it needs that it's required to have to deliver safe care. So we know they're looking at this, and we're waiting for more information about what these monitors are finding.
All right. All right, Deb, anything you want to add on Steward before we sort of step back and take the bigger look?
No, I think at this point, precarious is good. You know, good word. Crisis is also a word. And I think we are still in the process of watching how a state deals with the failure of a major hospital operator and what can be done.
Yeah. And Priyanka, I'll give last question to you, too. And I'll note, Deb just pulled out a couple of words. The other one that struck me is, I think they both, but in the quote from Congressman Auchincloss yesterday and with Congressman Lynch today, the word catastrophic also came up. So anything else you want us to know on Steward before we step back as well?
Well, I will admit, when I first heard that word, catastrophic, I thought, is this too strong of a word? But we do keep hearing these concerns from people, and they seem to be really legitimate, because as you heard from the congressman, that the healthcare system is already quite busy, quite stressed, and there's a lot of concern about where people are going to get their care if any of these Steward facilities suddenly close.
So we're here with reporters Deb Becker and Priyanka Dayal-McCluskey looking at Steward Healthcare, what's going on there. But I did want to take a step back, right? And Deb, Priyanka just set it up, right? The congressman says, listen, this is happening in a context of a struggling healthcare system. And I want to go back to that context for a minute. We've been following the strains on the healthcare system since the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic. Mm-hmm. And also since the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic, we've been reminding ourselves that that struggle actually started before the COVID-19 pandemic. Mm-hmm. But what kinds of strains are we talking about in the Massachusetts healthcare system?
Well, I think capacity is incredibly strained right now. Access is strained. We hear about very long waits for not just care, but emergency room services. So I think the system overall, it really just can't handle the volume of patients. And Steward hospitals see about 200,000 patients a year. So closing those brings an additional 200,000 patients into an already strained system. I think that's very problematic. And then I think investment in healthcare and how the business of it is run has been a problem for quite some time. And I think that we are now seeing some real issues that have arisen because of private ownership of healthcare. And I don't think the laws have kept up with what's been going on.
So you're saying this is, to some extent, exposing, I don't know, like a structural fault line in the funding mechanisms?
I would say it's a fault line in the oversight to make sure that it's properly regulated and it's not just run for profit.
So Priyanka, I'm keying in also on Deb's, you know, the capacity question. I think I understand that the first hospital that did close was actually part of what it did was rehabilitation. Is that correct? And if you don't know, just tell me. Because as I understand it, part of the reason that we have racking and stacking in our hospitals is that you can't be discharged into hospice or rehabilitation, et cetera, because we have insufficient capacity sort of downstream in our healthcare system as well. Any part of that you want to pick up, feel free.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. So there's challenges across the system. So all the way from primary care offices, which are trying to keep up with the need from patients for non-urgent issues as well as urgent issues, to hospital emergency departments, which, as Deb mentioned, many of them are very crowded and people face long wait times. And it's unfortunately common for people to be treated in hallways at some of the elite hospitals in this state. So, and I've seen that for myself, and it's not pleasant for anyone. And then we have what's called post-acute care, which is people who need rehabilitation or skilled nursing after the hospital. And there's a lot of backups there as well. So there's patients who are essentially stuck in hospitals and they're admitted and they can't be discharged because there's no place for them to go. So there's issues across the spectrum.
All right. So I don't want to leave people completely hopeless at the end of this conversation. So sort of last question to each of you, Priyanka, I'll stay with you first. Where's the most interesting solution exploration that you've seen, or where are you seeing something encouraging, Priyanka?
Well, I think there's obviously a lot of attention on how do we solve the immediate problems ahead, but I have heard some discussions getting started around, are there any positive outcomes that could come from this? Like, is this an opportunity to think about a positive restructuring of healthcare and helping people access the care they need? So that's sort of a bigger discussion, but maybe is there an opportunity here to think about that?
Same question to you, Deb Becker.
I think the financing issue is huge, and I think it's really what we're seeing here. And I think that this could really, this steward incidents here could really prompt a greater regulation by the state and the feds. And I think Congressman Lynch alluded to that he's even talking with state officials to figure out what kind of loopholes there are, what kind of oversight there is, and how it could be better strengthened to make sure that people are not using healthcare just to make a profit.
All right, WBUR's Deborah Becker and Priyanka Dayal McCluskey, both I know are going to continue to follow this story. We'll look forward to talking with you more about it. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.